This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, let me try to summarize this for everybody as you've been paying attention or maybe weren't paying attention, because there was a lot of numbers and a lot of information thrown out there. I think the mayor does a really good job as a communicator. I really do. And I think the way she described it actually was the most concise. But basically, we now have an agreement between the team and, of course, the city. At attending this press conference today were Josh Harris and the mayor and the commissioner of the league, Roger Goodell. As I mentioned earlier in the show, for those that don't know, Roger Goodell grew up here because his father was in government, and he went to RFK and went to Skins games at RFK. In the crowd were Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and John Riggins and Daryl Green and Doug Williams. I'm sure I'm missing a few. Mark Seagraves mentioned, or somebody did, four of the current 12 council members were there. And you heard, you know, occasional references and thanks to them in advance of what they hope the council will do, which is approve this deal. So overall, this is basically, as the mayor laid out, a $3.6 billion project to not just build a stadium, but to totally transform this 180-acre blighted parcel of land on the banks of the Anacostia River. This will be the largest single investment in the city's history to do anything. The stadium that will be built will be a 65,000 or so seat stadium that will be what they call roofed, not domed now, it's roofed, but it will be an indoor stadium. This is something we've talked about for a while, but that is an absolute given. And the reason that's a given is because they want to be able to maximize year-round usage of the facility. They want to be able to get a Super Bowl to D.C. The commissioner was actually asked about the Super Bowl by John Kime, and he said, what are the odds? And he said, they have increased dramatically, which they have. Within 10 years, we're going to have a Super Bowl in D.C. You know, 2032, 2033 Super Bowl in D.C. So, $3.6 billion project in which the team is fronting $2.7 billion of that $3.6 billion investment. Now, the rest of it is made up with, you know, $500 million towards infrastructure from the actual city itself. All right, the $500 million, they talk about horizontal infrastructure towards stadium development. You know, that's apparently money that they already have. In what did she call that fee? It's leveraging dedicated funds from what they call the sports facilities fee. So the district doesn't need to make any cuts from the city's operating budget. This will all be included in what she called FY26, fiscal year 2026. So DC's government's going to invest $500 million for stadium horizontal and non-vertical costs, but they don't have to do anything. That money is there. The district will facilitate parking development using a $175 million bond, which will be funded by what they call in-stadium activity once the stadium is operating. So that will be a mix of things, which, by the way, will probably include PSLs to some degree, personal seat licenses. Get ready. I'm telling you this right now. It's okay, because I think there will still be demand and we're 5 years out. But it's not going to be a cheap ticket. Now, maybe once you get the season ticket portion done, you know, depending on how good the team is, you'll be able to get in on the aftermarket for something that isn't super expensive. But PSL's personal seat licenses give you the right to purchase the season tickets. Ain't going to be cheap. Events DC is going to contribute $181 million for parking garages near the area. And then the district will invest $202 million for utilities, infrastructure, roadways, and some sort of transit study. In addition, $89 million will be invested in a sportsplex, meaning fields and sports recreational usage next to the stadium. There's going to be, you know, what's it going to look like around the stadium? Well, there's going to be several areas around the stadium. There's going to be a plaza where you have entertainment, festivals, etc. There's going to be a riverfront area for housing, retail, restaurants, etc. There's going to be a residential district, which will include a significant percentage. I think I read in the press release, 30% of affordable housing. And then that expanded recreational area where $89 million will go towards like a sportsplex with fields, etc. So $3.6 million with the team putting up $2.7 million, and the rest, the other $900 million roughly, put up by the city with current funds through partnerships with groups like Events DC and through taxpayer dollars. So what are the next steps? The next step is to get the city council to approve it. I can tell you that they need to move quickly. She had mentioned at one point that they needed to move quickly on this thing because they needed to know whether or not they needed to move on from this. And the team certainly needed to know whether or not they needed to go back to Maryland and move into something that could get them into a new facility by 2030. When will the city council vote on this? It's a good question. I don't know. But I would imagine it's got to take place in the next few months. You heard the mayor at the end there. I mean, she's got her pitch down. This is not about costs. This is about future jobs and revenue. Of course, that's the pitch. Now, where all of that future revenue comes from is consumers, from residents, and from things like whatever the stadium generates on game day or event day. I did not think we got an answer to personal seat licenses, but the majority of NFL stadiums do include personal seat licenses. I'm trying to think of where I read this morning, but I think I read that 20 of the 32 teams have them. And by the way, what they do is they dramatically increase the price of being a season ticket holder. You know, that cost can go from anywhere from like $1,500 to $6,000 or something like that. You know, and for premium, and that would be general admission seats, and for premium seats, much higher than that. The other thing we did not get, or we haven't gotten because we did cut out of there, but we'll find out at some point, is whether or not the team itself will relocate to that facility. I don't think they will because they didn't announce that. I wonder if their training, you know, their headquarters will remain in Ashburn. Remember, they own a lot of land now in College Park. So that kind of sums it up, I think. I'm sure I'm missing some pieces. But if you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I think all of these things, typically when they get bogged down by people who don't understand revenue, and they're more fixated on costs. They're more fixated on costs to their constituents. Understood. They're in politics. But this is a big area of the city that currently is massively underutilized. And I'd love to see all of the detail about the projected revenue. I think I did read in the press release, it's a press release, that this thing will generate $4 billion plus, so it'll return. And you heard Josh Harris, you know, talk about the ROI on something like this. Sometimes it takes more advanced business people and bigger thinkers to get things like this done, but they have to be effective in communicating to people who may be less apt to understand the upside to things like this. Josh Harris is used to that, and the mayor is used to that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I thought it sounded, you know, well done and well communicated, especially by Mayor Bowser. You know, I don't know that that's Josh's strength, but he did a good job there today as well. His strength is building winning things, winning businesses, and already after a year and a half, a winning football team that may be on their way back to D.C., something that just flat out was not going to happen as long as the last owner, who was not very good at doing things, remained as owner. Fortunately, that didn't happen. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let me just see if there's anything else in my notes that I wrote down here of interest. You know, one thing that Josh Harris and Mark Ein and Mitch Rales, they have referred to RFK as the franchise's spiritual home. It's going to be a new home. It's going to be a new team. I mean, there are a lot of things that have changed about this team. You know, that's the massive weight, you know, that was not going to be addressed today and won't be addressed because Josh Harris kind of already addressed it a couple of months ago. But a new stadium in terms of what that means for the team moving forward, I think it's a very good thing, and I think, you know, Roger Goodell mentioning a new generation is really, I think, the most, you know, important part of the whole mindset of new ownership, even though I'm watching this stage, and I know I would bet big money that certainly Josh Harris and Roger Goodell probably think it's silly that the team lost its name and would rather that name exist. I have no idea how the mayor feels. But the issue is over. I mean, I know we had the president address it last week, but this is about future revenues. And the people that are the future spenders for this football franchise and for the stadium and the area surrounding the stadium, it's less of an issue, much less of an issue for them. And in some cases, it won't even be thought of as an issue for many of the fans that attend events at that stadium, games included. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with my guy, Skip. Skip, go ahead. What do you say?
Kevin, as usual, great summary and perspective and overall, you know, communicating the dollars and the investment, and I actually think you did a better job than was done today on stage. I didn't hear them talk the numbers the way you did.
So well, a lot of she did. The mayor broke it down line item by line item, and I was waiting to kind of hear that. Right. She did a good job. And then they also put out a press release that had a lot of it detailed in there as well.
Okay.
Okay,
so you were reading from that.
I had it in front of me, yes.
Okay, great. Good job. I think that's very important. And for me, you know, they mentioned nostalgia, and it does bring nostalgia, obviously. I mean, this is another big moment for us, and we've had a few in the last year and a half. And going back to the first game I attended when I was a little kid, I think I've told you this before, it was the 72-43 game.
I don't remember that one, but yes,
okay,
72 to 41, still the highest scoring game in league history.
Still,
yeah,
and that was the very first game. I mean, I was a little kid; I didn't really understand, you know, a lot was going on, but it gave me a lasting impression of the team and the players and just the history that has endured for, you know, almost 60 years. And now I think the one thing I do like about the changes in the logo symbols and uniforms. The one thing I do like, Kevin, is the W.
The W, yep.
The W I do like. I think universally among fans who, you know, maybe don't like the name or those who want Redskins, I do think we all appreciate the W. And now that W actually means something if we have a stadium in Washington, D.C. So I think, you know, it kind of like feels like full circle. I mean, we had 30 years of really not being in our home, and now we're back. And that's the feeling that I have today after being a fan of this team for almost 60 years.
I just, you know, you've probably heard me say this a couple of times, including earlier in the show. What's going to be interesting is if we end up having the final 5 years in Landover be the most memorable by far in terms of the games, and who knows, maybe an NFC championship game or two played in that stadium before they move. And the bottom line is, as bad as that stadium was, and it was never good from day one, so much that we have to complain about it, but had they continued to win like they did at RFK, we wouldn't view it the same way. We wouldn't view it after all these years the same way. What came with the new location and leaving the old location was the Dan Snyder era, which was obviously an era that made us all want to get sick year in and year out. Thanks, Skip, as always, for the call. Let's go to our guy Joe in Springfield. Joe, let's go.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
So, a little flashback for both of you and me. July of 2023, you and I are celebrating down at Navy Yard, new ownership. It's been almost 2 years, and I honestly feel like, you know, when this stadium is built, I'm not saying it's going to be like the old RFK when the stadium is rocking or something, but when we have that first game there in 2030, it's going to send chills down for all of us, and we're back, man. Who would have thought this was going to happen? We never thought it was going to happen after we left here in 1996, but we're back, man, and it's going to be great, and we believe, man. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Mayor Bowser. It's real, man. And words can't describe it. I'm at a loss for words. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, will the stadium be shaken? Who knows? And I have a feeling it's going to be loud for real. Yeah, we're back, man. Let's do this.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. This from Richard. Richard writes, you know, it's a long note. I'll just paraphrase it. He's like, what was missing over the years was a team that felt like a Washington, D.C. team. That's back. I disagree with that. This was always Washington, D.C.'s team, regardless of where it was playing. Just like, you know, it's the Giants are New York's team and the New York metro area's team, even though they played in Jersey forever. And there are plenty of other examples. The 49ers in Santa Clara, Dallas and, you know, Irving to begin with, which was more of a suburb of Dallas. But anyway, the point being, it was always DC's team. It will feel great, but it's not. Josh Harris said something too, which is a little bit of a change of direction. I just wanted to answer that real quickly. Josh Harris said at one point, he goes, this is nostalgic, but it's not about nostalgia. And he said, it's about a good business decision for both the city and for us, and a very strong ROI, return on investment, that will create, you know, incredible opportunities for jobs and for revenue growth and really to take an area of the city that has not been, or that parcel of land for sure, which has been an eyesore, and turn it into something spectacular. Those of us that are old enough remember what Chinatown was before Abe Pollin built that arena downtown. It was an eyesore. It was a difficult area. It wasn't necessarily a safe area. And it was really the beginning of a lot of neighborhood growth throughout the city. Gentrification, whether you approve of it or not, created these neighborhoods which have turned into be massive job opportunity and revenue generators for the city. And this area will hopefully do the same thing. I don't have the actual, you know, I'd love to see what it looks like in terms of what they're projecting future revenues. But it sounds like it was a good deal for both. Now, the team will, from my understanding, own a lot of the surrounding residential and retail. So there will be beyond tickets and PSLs and concessions, et cetera, which I think, you know, the concession breakdown, I'm not exactly sure how that works, actually, because I think the city gets parking and some of that as well. But, you know, they will certainly end up, I think, doing well with this return. But keep in mind, the upfront investment of $2.7 billion from the team is a lot more expensive than what they would have, what they would have needed out of pocket in Landover. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Yeah, on the D.C. neighborhood thing, I totally agree. Chinatown, and you look at the Navy Yard with the Nat Stadium, and then an offshoot of that, the Wharf with the Anthem. Yeah, I totally agree, and I think this will be in that ilk, if you will. It'll totally revive. It'll give another concert venue, another Final Four, Super Bowl, etc. But the overall ethos is, this is amazing. I mean, I don't know, even the NIMBYs and the city council, I don't know how anybody could be against this, because they're putting up a lot of their money, which is obviously a big point of contention a lot of times. And it's a place that's already there. It's not like they're going to have to tear down houses to do it. This is going to only uplift the part of the city. I think this will get done really smoothly. The city council saw what happened with Chinatown and Navy Yard, et cetera. I think this is a win. I totally agree with you on the name thing. This is just, that chapter is just closed. And everything is moving forward. The team
I didn't
winning.
Say that. You just put words into my mouth that I did not speak.
Sorry. Let me rephrase. I think, and have thought for a long time, the name issue is closed, and you're hearing it over and over. Commander means something. We're the Commanders. This, that, the other. I think now that the stadium deal is kind of done, I think they're just.
I think you're out of your mind if you think it's over. I think you are so detached from
Kevin,
a significant percentage of this fan base if you think it's over. What I have emphasized,
Kevin,
and maybe you agree with this, is the future of the franchise is a younger demographic. And for them, the issue isn't as significant. And they are the much greater lifetime revenue value customer to the team. And by the way, to the city, because they have a lot more life to live. And so they care less about that issue. But if you think that this issue is over, you haven't been paying attention at all.
So
you're certainly living in a world that I'm not familiar with.
So number one, I totally agree with you on the younger portion of the fan base. We agree there. My point to you is, you've had Mark Ein on, you've had multiple statements by Josh Harris, Josh Harris's wife, the ownership group, Mitchell Rails, et cetera, that have talked multiple times about the Redskins aren't coming back. So we agree on that, right?
Yes.
I agree
with that, even though we have a wild card, and his name's President Trump. But I do agree with you. I don't think it's coming back. But what's your point on that? Of course they're saying that. Do you think that they don't recognize how big of an issue it is with the majority of their fan base still?
So this is where you and I do part ways a little bit. So I'm not saying it's not an issue, and regardless of how many fans or current fans or historic fans view the name, we can agree it's a larger issue for some than others. What I'm saying is, if we know the old name isn't coming back, what is the juice, or is it worth it to change the name again to something that will create consternation again?
Look, I want to sum it up and I want to move on, because it's not about the name today. two different conversations. The complexity of going to something else and their ability to sort of sidestep that issue because of 12 wins, two road playoff games where they won exactly 60 minutes from the Super Bowl is different from the issue which I'm discussing, which is what percentage of fan base, current and past, think that this is an issue and want the name changed. It's a significant majority, and their own internal surveys show that. Now, again, and I've said this over and over again, there's no easy solution if Redskins isn't available. We agree
exactly
on that. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Let me move on. I want to get some other callers in here, and Ben's going to join us so we can go back to the draft from over the weekend. Let's go to Hayden. Hayden, go ahead.
Well, Kevin, certainly no fan of Mayor Bowser, but I got to give her credit. This is a great deal for the city. Yeah. It's going to revitalize that area. But is this the death of outdoor football in D.C.? Has that been confirmed? Is it going to be an indoor
stadium?
It's
going to be a domed, or what they're referring to as a roofed stadium, but it's not retractable. Retractable is a much greater expense. This is going to be a covered stadium, yes.
Yeah, well, that is the one negative. We're watching the NFL become the Arena League before our eyes.
It
is what it
is. It is what it is. I mean, when you spend $3.6 billion to build these things, you can't have them available for just 8 home games or 9.
No, I get it. This is a great deal for the city. He's putting up his own money. It's going to be a first-class facility. It's a part of town that we're all familiar with. It needs to be revitalized desperately. It's not going to be the same experience as you guys remember from your glory days.
No.
It's going to be a totally different one. But for the future of this city, this is a fantastic day to get them back inside of the district. I mean,
yep.
And let's be honest, Kevin, the fact that they've got the quarterback fell in their lap will make it a heck of a lot easier to make it a much more grand opening when they open the facility in 2030.
No doubt. Thanks, Hayden. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ross. Ross has been on hold. Ross, thanks. Go ahead.
Long time, no talk, Kevin. What's good in the hood?
Well, you just heard it. The RFK looks we're within one or two final steps away from it being a reality.
Haven't been this excited since like 20 years ago. I lost something that I'll never be able to get back, but we're not here to talk about that. Real quick before I get to the stadium, man, I'm happy for my boy Gabe Taylor. I hope everything works out with him. But I think if Snyder was owning the team, they probably would just give him a 53-man spot. But anyways, I was talking to Max, man, and I try to tell people all the time, I'm saying it's going to be a dome stadium, and they think it's going to be what we had at the RCA Dome, the Metro Dome, down in New Orleans. I'm like you mentioned, it's going to be a roof stadium, but it's going to be something that's going to be year-round. I remember when Josh Harris was about to buy the team, you had a guy from Philly on. You had him on before the NFC Championship game. Couldn't stand that guy. He's like, oh, Harris is all about the money. If you have an opportunity to make as much money as possible, why would you not take that opportunity? I think he's going to do a real good job of developing the land around the stadium. And I already gave my wife my 5 years notice. I said when that stadium opens and the 2030 season kicks off, you know, Washington's going to play at the Indianapolis Stadium because I'm a scheduled guy just like you. They're scheduled to play him in 2030. And then me and my buddy, who's not that much younger than you, Kevin, we're going to be up there, man. We got to be there for that season opener. It's got to happen. Whenever it is, we're going to be there. This is probably one of the biggest moments as a fan since I've been alive. And last time they won a Super Bowl, I was just barely alive. But your opinion, man, what can they do with that stadium or the development around it for you, Kevin, as a resident, that would make you really, like, mad excited? And before I hop off, I'm not trying to bring up the name. Just go back to the Washington football team uniforms. I'm cool with the helmet.
I think they're going to do something with the uniforms. Thanks, Ross, for the call.
Please.
Appreciate it. I think they're going to do something with the uniforms eventually. Who knows? We might get something on that with something this year. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, in terms of what they need to do, I trust them. I'd love an area, a new area in town that ends up being a cool area. I think somebody mentioned earlier, maybe it was Ian, you know, whether, you know, it's you know, Navy Yard or Chinatown or, you know, the Wharf. I mean, all of the areas. This is a much bigger plot of land than what we're talking about because it's a much bigger stadium and a much bigger you know, acreage, a parcel of land, 180 acres. So it's going to be, it'll be great. But, you know, I keep thinking about this and I'm like, it's going to be 2030. We have five football seasons to get through before that. And we'll get updates on how it's going, and there will be pictures, and there will be certainly when RFK gets raised, when it gets taken down, that will be a story. When they break ground on the new stadium, all of that stuff will be cool in the moment. But in the meantime, what we really like, I think, I really like games, seasons. And we got five more of those before they'll play in this new stadium. But still, it's nice to know that eventually that's where they will be. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. We've got a line open if you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980. Ben just texted me, and it looks like they're getting Josh Harris in sort of a group opportunity to interview him. So he may not be available. We'll see. If you want to weigh in on the stadium announcement earlier this morning with Mayor Bowser, Roger Goodell, and Washington team owner Josh Harris, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. So much happened over the weekend sports-wise. I mean, we had two Caps games, a loss Friday night, a win last night. 3-1 series lead. They come home Wednesday night for Game 5. And it looks like it'll be Carolina in the next round because they have a commanding 3-1 series lead over the New Jersey Devils. The NBA over the weekend, I'm not going to spend any time on it, but there were just all-time games. I'm not sure I've ever seen a closer buzzer beater than Denver and Aaron Gordon's dunk off the Jokic miss at the buzzer on Saturday night against the Clippers. And then you had the foul that wasn't called a foul in Detroit yesterday, and then they came out with the post game saying it should have been a foul, and instead of it being 2-2, it's 3-1 Knicks. The Lakers are, I mean, it's been great all weekend long. The Nats had a great weekend. They took 2-3 from the Mets, and we had an NFL draft where, since we last spoke on Friday, Washington made four more selections. I went through those earlier in the show. Didn't even get to Shedeur Sanders and that drama from over the weekend. And Jeff Ulbrich's son, the Ole Miss kid who played a prank on calling Shedeur to tell me he'd been drafted by the Raiders. Oh, man, when you're young, you do stupid things. But the big news today in our city is there's a deal between the team and the city to build a $3.6 billion project on the RFK parcel of land that will include a 65,000-seat domed, or they refer to it now, roofed stadium that will open in the fall of 2030. It will turn an area that is essentially vacant and blighted into hopefully a thriving part of the city. It will create jobs. It will generate significant revenue. The mayor did a really good job of presenting it today with Josh Harris and with Roger Goodell. And man, when you think about this particular mayor, when all is said and done, regardless of whether or not you believe what she believes in politically or not, and there will be moments that I'm sure people will say, yeah, that was not a good moment, but keeping the Caps and the Wizards in D.C. and bringing the football team back to D.C., these are the things that get remembered. These are the high-profile events that end up being the first couple of lines written about a mayor's legacy. All right, Little is on hold. Little, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Shout out to Mad Max, too, man. I'm applaud about the situation with the stadium, man. A lot of these callers calling in, I'm almost sure they're from PG County. You know what I'm saying? I'm almost sure they are, man. But look, I'm going to change the subject a little bit, Kevin, because I'm going to tell you now, man, I'm also applaud about this young boy they got from HBCU, man, Jackson State, man. I'm telling you now, I don't know how this kid didn't get drafted.
Hold on, man, for a second. You're appalled that the stadium's going into D.C.? I want to know why.
No, I'm I'm applauding.
Oh, you're applauding it. You're applauding it.
Yes, sir.
Got it. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
go ahead.
Definitely happy about it, man. You know, I worked over the stadium in the 80s and the 90s, man. I also played in the RFK Field 23rd annual Turkey Bowl game. See, all that's going to come back.
Who'd you play for?
All that's going to come back. I played for Baloo.
And who'd you guys play in the Turkey Bowl that year?
We lost the Coolers. They had a tight end, 6'4", Sims, that played for Virginia Tech. Sims, that's right now, he's a correctional officer guard over there at Alexander Detention Center.
Yeah.
Detention Center, Sims.
Right.
He was a hell of a tight end.
RFK had that Turkey Bowl every year, and going way back, you remember, I'm sure, to the city championship game between the public school.
I had to cover Sims, and he burned me a couple of times because they beat us 22-12. But I had a safety in that game, don't care.
What did you want to say about the kid from Jackson State? You're talking about the undrafted free agent, the safety.
Man, when you see this kid play, man, it's gonna be some goosebumps hit you, man. Because this kid moved just like man, Sean Taylor, man. I'm telling you now,
Sean Taylor's brother was signed. You know that his much younger brother Gabe was signed as an undrafted free agent as well.
I didn't know that, but I know about this kid they got from Jackson State, man. The kid is fast, quick, and he can lay the hammer.
Okay.
Hey, man, God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
Thanks, Little. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bob. Bob's calling from Ocean City. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, a little bit south of there, Kevin. I don't know if it's my birthday, but I'm pleased to announce that he spent the money in town. And yes, I was at the Eastern St. John's game in the early 60s.
Right.
55 years over either RFK or over there in Landover. I would come back, if I'm alive, at 76, bicentennial for me, maybe, to come back to sit in the end zone if I'm alive and have a privilege. This man's made a big money commitment. He'll build it right. The mayor will give everything the city needs to have the sports, have the fields, have the indoor gymnasiums, whatever they need. The big picture is we'll be playing in D.C. We'll have a great time in D.C. It'll be a covered stadium. It won't be a retractable roof, won't be a retractable field, but that's what they can afford for that kind of money. Think about this. Super Bowl in the future. Maybe Olympics in the future. Keep on reaching for a higher step on the ladder. That's what this ownership has given us all. It is a wonderful day all the way around. They have to spend money to get the tax base to keep money. Yes,
right.
It'll offend some of the people, but they'll figure it out, Kevin. It's a great day, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Billy in Chantilly. Billy, go ahead.
Kevin, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. I can't believe how fast this is all coming together for this organization after battling for 20 years and wanting to quit on it and not be involved in it because it was so atrocious. And now to have an NFC championship, probably the best quarterback that's ever played in the NFL, and a stadium in town, it's just, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. The next cherry on the sundae is going to have to be changing the name. And that hopefully that's under consideration.
How many playoff wins do they have over the next 5 years before we move into the new stadium?
In Landover?
Yeah.
I'd say probably 15. 13 to 15.
15 playoff wins in Landover. That's home field advantage a lot. That's 5 years of home field advantage. But that I don't even think that's possible to play 15 playoff games over 5 years at home.
Be.
Yeah.
All right. If you were wild card games, if you had 5 years of wild card games, you could probably get there.
How many Lombardis, new Lombardis, do we have moving into the new place?
I'd say five.
Yeah, okay.
Conservatively,
I'll take
five.
One right now. But the key is Jaden would be in year seven when we open up the new stadium and he plays in there for the first time. Thank you, Billy.
Let's go to wake me up, dude.
Let's go to Rick. Rick in D.C. Rick, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I got to tell you, I bought a season ticket out there at Northwest Stadium the last year that Snyder was the owner, and I held my nose when I did it. But I'm glad I've held on to that season ticket now for the last couple of years, and I look forward to the new stadium. It is a great day. But I tune in a little late, but I don't understand how Billy from Chantilly would spoil the day by thinking about bringing back a racist and incendiary name to the organization. The Washington Commanders, that's fine by me. I would prefer the Washington football team, but however, saying that, that name has no business coming back to this city. I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, Billy actually just said a change of the name. Secondly, it is a very complex and debatable subject as to what the name means, because overwhelmingly Native Americans, which are the only people I care about in terms of their response to the name, do not think it's terribly racist or insensitive. Thirdly, it is an issue that is still a massive issue with the majority of the fan base. With that said, I think that name is gone. I don't think it's ever coming back. Whether or not they will do anything else with the name, my guess is they won't, because I think the team's going to continue to win and attract new, younger fans. I do think they will do something with the uniforms.
That's fine. Just keep that old name. Keep it buried. Stick a fork in it.
Well, that's your opinion. But you see, the problem with the mic drop, it's dictionary defined as insensitive or pejorative or even racially insensitive, is that you're not understanding how deep and how complex and how debatable this name has been over the years. It's not as simple as that. If it were as simple as that, then Native Americans themselves would get rid of the name in a lot of the high schools where the name still exists. But thanks for the call, Rick. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to try to sneak Ben on here at the end of the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also streaming now. All right, 10 to 1, Hoffman streams 4 to 7 on the Team 980 YouTube page. Just hit the subscribe button and hit the like button for us.
All right, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's office and the Washington Commanders have announced a deal to bring them back to RFK. The team will be contributing $2.7 billion in funds, the biggest private investment in NFL history. The Caps got the big win in Montreal last night. They bring home a 3-1 series lead. Andrew Mangiapane with the game-winning goal. The Caps win 5-2. They will meet again on Wednesday at Capital One Arena. Coverage at 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan. The Nats had two big walk-off wins this weekend, one on Friday and one yesterday, beating the Mets on a throwing error that allowed Luis Garcia to reach first and C.J. Abrams to sprint in from second to lift the Nats over the Mets 8-7. They close out their series at 4:05 pregame at 3:35 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Couple of other quick things about the plan. So council approval sometime this summer, as we talked about our guest. Planning for housing, parks, recreation, summer, fall of 2025. Stadium site groundbreaking in the fall or winter of 2026. I would imagine that's late this fall, winter of 2026. Early 2029, Plaza District groundbreaking. Summer of 2030, Sportsplex ribbon cutting. And the fall of 2030, the stadium opening. Ben Standing is with us. You were there. You know, we watched it, we listened to it. Just your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to not think about the journey to this point. I mean, obviously, Dan Snyder was trying to get to here, and for all kinds of reasons, many of his own fault, no chance, got Mutombo'd all over the place. And then with Josh Harris on board, you know, this thing has moved, I think, you know, somewhat rapidly. And here we are, it's not at the finish line. As you just said, the city council still has to approve, and you know, I think there's still some questions how that's going to go, although the mayor's office feels pretty confident about that. So, yeah, I mean, to see this day, and then, you know, they bring out Joe Gibbs, John Riggins, Daryl Green. You know, then the new regime is here with Dan Quinn, Adam Peters. Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, quite remarkable. It almost kind of works out perfectly in that regard, that it's that Super Bowl era and this new era. And we kind of forget what happened in the middle. So, yeah, pretty big day. But, yeah, we'll see where this goes.
You know what struck me actually in watching it, but you just reminded me to say something about it. When Ted did the thing with, you know, about Virginia, there was a glee and an excitement level that was not shared by many of his fans and many in the city. Today, there was an excitement level that I think is shared pretty much across the board with the team's fans, with the city. Sure, there will be people that will push back, including probably members in the city council and, you know, the NIMBYs and some of these other public, you know, protest support groups against it. Just the overall vibe of this versus the one that we had about Virginia was just completely completely different. All right, let's talk some football. I haven't talked to you since Friday about what they did over the weekend, so give me your thoughts on the players they selected, and then maybe update everybody on just what they added after the draft, because they only had five players that they picked.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, going into this, you know, the whole process, you know, my thoughts were what they needed in some order: edge rusher, corner, speed on offense, help the offensive line, check those boxes except for the edge. And, you know, part of what was interesting about this team going into the draft was they had at least papered over all their concerns, I would say, in free agency. I think they still, you know, have to look at, can they get better with the edge in terms of free agency? But, you know, I think it's hard to argue McConnerly and Amos in particular are pretty impressive prospects. You know, I know that Adam Peters said they could have easily taken Amos at 29, and whether you want to believe that or not, like, he was projected in that range by a lot of, you know, public analysts. So, you know, that seems like a pretty good value based on that. And, you know, again, with Jalen Lane, with Kane Medrano, the linebacker, like, Medrano was the fastest linebacker at the combine. Yeah. Lane runs a 4.34. Like, this group needed speed on both sides of the ball. So, you know, I think look at a basic level in terms of, like, concerns and needs, I think they addressed almost all of them. And now, you know, you put them on the field and see what happens. So, you know, you can't do everything. They didn't trade back. But again, to get the two picks that they got at the top, I understand why they at least went with the player versus getting more picks.
At this point, what's going to come out of this offseason, free agency and draft, is whether or not they improved enough defensively. Right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, yeah, the offense is what it's got the bigger help with, getting Larry Tunsil, Josh Connerly, Debo Samuel. You know, that side got much more of the help. Defensively, you know, what was the biggest move? Javon Kinlaw, obviously getting Amos here. You know, but they lose Jeremy Chinn. They don't really add, like, an athletic edge guy. So, yeah, I think there's still some questions on defense. I believe that, you know, they think that they've improved the run defense with some additions like a Dietrich Wise, and just overall the players that they have maybe better fits for what they're trying to do there. But, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you still have to contend with the Eagles. You know, all the three teams in the division have, you know, elite wide receivers. Do they have enough there, not just in terms of the pass defenders, but the pass rush? You got to be consistent to get those quarterbacks, you know, off their mark and hurry. And, you know, I think that's a big question as to whether they've done that. But yeah, ultimately how this defense looks, and we'll, you know, we won't get a real feel for that until, you know, training camp, preseason at a minimum. But yeah, I think without question, that's a big deal. And I would say for me at this point, based on what they've done, I think Daron Payne and Johnny Newton, but Payne in particular, if they're really going to have a surge on defense, I think that the 22 version of him has got to show up, because, you know, he was a Pro Bowl player that year. He got the big contract. John Allen's now gone. They didn't add sort of an obvious headliner at the edge. They need that guy to be a Pro Bowler. And if he can, then we may be talking about a much better defense. If not, then, yeah, we'll just have to see what they can do.
All right, got to run up against a hard break. Thanks for working some time in. I know you're busy down there. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. All right, that's it. We're wrapped for the day. Back tomorrow, we'll catch up on a lot of things we didn't have time to catch up on today. Chris Russell's next.